taking some ownership in the Great Commission, and something that I hope that our church will do, because this is it right here. I want this to be more than just a good idea. It's not just a good idea, is it? My prayer is that this will be a genuine identity. It's just who we are. As a church, we are taking ownership of our responsibility of telling others about Jesus Christ. And I believe that is possible, but it doesn't come without any effort. And it most definitely does not come without God's enabling power, the Holy Spirit power. And we are depending upon that most definitely. And so we're just going to try to work through that continually tonight. We'll continue from time to time. We'll still be breaking up in groups with our Take It Personally groups, our grow teams. And by the way, I just want to encourage you once again on your desire to get involved in that and to please the Lord. I believe the Lord is being honored as we go out. Some of you have asked, well, how do we get involved? Like, I haven't been necessarily assigned to a team. If that's your case, everyone should be assigned that signed up. If you're not, then it's been a mistake on our part, and we do apologize for that. And so if you are interested in being on a team and you're not currently on one, just see me or Brother Mike Swofford or one of the team leaders. The team leaders are Mark Reynolds. We have David Jemanski, and then we have Josh Seymour, and then our fourth one will be Mike Swofford. That's right. Yeah, we teammate on that one, so I help Brother Mike as well. And so just see us if you have any questions on that, and we'll get you plugged in. All right, we should be ready to go here. Is that true, Brother Mike? All right, there we go. I'm getting a lot of feedback on this. Not sure. I can just go pulpit if I need to, or if I'll be in the way. Let's see. All right. That sounds, I think, better. Does that need to go inside there? We might have to pray about updating this thing here. I'll have to pray about it. Being an effective witness. All right, that's where we're going to start tonight. So being an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I don't have the blanks filled out up here in this little book, but I believe that is the title of Lesson 4. That is the goal for us to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the practical ways of being an effective witness is being willing to and using, I should say, a prospect list. You say, well, what is this prospect list? Well, we're going to talk about that and how you can use a prospect list. Now, here's what Take It Personally is. It's personal. It's personal. It's not only personal for you, but it's going to be personal for someone else, because you are investing in a person, a soul. And that's where we want to take it very personal, in the sense that this is not just, again, some program. It's not just some idea. They're real souls we're talking about, and we want to be good stewards of who the Lord leads us to. Now, as anybody here is gardening, is anybody here getting a garden ready for this year? Is anybody going to be planting? We'll see a few hands, all right, across the auditorium. Well, if you're not, somebody probably is that you know. And that you'll be mooching off of them for the fall for their tomatoes. I know I will be. And so make those good old tomato sandwiches that I love dearly, but they're only good with Duke's mayonnaise. Okay, I'll just go ahead and put that out there. If you use Miracle Whip, we need to talk about church discipline. Okay, I'm just kidding. But honestly, you know, people are getting ready for gardening. And getting their gardens prepared, plowed up, and there's a lot of preparation. And what does that show? It shows that there is effort indeed needed and required. But one thing a good gardener realizes too, he can only do so much, and the rest is up to the Lord. The sunshine, that's coming from the Lord. The rain, that's coming from the Lord. And folks, there is no difference in soul winning. God expects us to get out and do some plowing. God expects us to get out and do some planting. God expects us to get out and do some watering. But it will be God who gives that increase. The Holy Spirit will do the supernatural part. He will do the convicting. He will do the drawing. He'll do the changing. That's His responsibility because He's the only one that can do it. But He does want us to get out. And that's part of what we're doing. We are, as the Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians, one plants, one waters, but it is God that gives the increase. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that, especially sometimes this old Georgia red clay. Man alive, I tell you what, sometimes that's some hard ground to get broken up and to work it and get it going to where it needs to be, but sometimes that's what it takes. And by the way, you know, reaching these people, our neighbors, who we need to love as God loves, it's going to take some hard work, folks. You know, especially, you know, I know some of you, I think it was this past when I blessed, I think it was up to 80 degrees on Saturday, and man, I saw the folks come in, or it was the week before, I think it was both weeks, in fact, seeing folks come in, man, faces are red, and you can tell they've been sweating and out, man, praise the Lord for that. That's putting forth some effort, and it'll be like that in the summertime, too, although I'm thinking it might be a good idea for us to bump down to the morning time when it starts getting hot. Saturday mornings, maybe 10 to 12. We'll talk about that. We can be flexible, especially with your team leaders. You guys can decide what works best for you and your team. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to take some work and some sweating and getting out there and making a difference. And how thankful that will pay off, how thankful that is that we can be, that will pay off. Well, I believe that this is probably one that we're going to talk about here in just a second. This prospect list is probably one of the most practical, important tools that you will have as a soul winner. Now, again, what I'm talking about tonight, it goes along with what we've been learning, but I want you to know this is getting more to just your personal soul winning, your day-to-day. I appreciate Lindsay the other day sharing with me, God gave her a divine appointment. She was in Chick-fil-A, and there was a lady that had a need, and there was a sickness, and she offered to pray, and it just touched the lady's heart, and God just set that up, and she got her name, and she was just touched. And God's going to do that every day for all of us if we're willing. He will bring you in contact with someone that needs some care, that needs some love. And it's just going to happen if we're willing. And that's something that I'm asking God to do in my heart and to do in your heart and to do in our church. Lord, help us to realize this is just not a Saturday morning thing. Although we want to get involved once a month on church visitation. But God, help it to be in our DNA every day. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit will we be able to do that. Well, this will help you maintain and be a good steward of your contacts. We see, what is a prospect list? Well, it's simply you keeping a log of names of people that you've talked to personally about Jesus Christ. It may be some family members that you've been praying over, co-workers that you've been praying over, and you need to keep a log. I've in the past used a little, just a journal book, and I have categorized it basically with friends that I have, and most of those are believers. I have some lost friends as well, but most of them are believers that I pray for. I have a day on Thursday that I make it a point to pray for lost people that I have known in my lifetime, and to God be the glory, I get encouraged. There are lost people on there that I have scratched out and have their names, have the dates of them coming to know Christ. Through God's power and Spirit convicting them, they came to know Christ. And that'll be an encouragement to you as you're praying for them. But also, sadly, I have names on there that I've had to scratch out. And I had to put a death date beside it, not knowing whether they ever trusted Christ. But I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to commit. And this is, there's been a real renewal in your pastor's heart in this area, and something I need to grow in desperately. I stand before you as a man who is realizing more and more my great need to be more soul conscious, and for my need to be having a better prepared prospect list and be praying over it. This is something we can do together. If you don't have one, start one. If you had one and gotten away from it, get back to it. And have those names. It makes it that much more personal of names that you can be praying over. And then what you'll do with this list, you include those again that you've had a chance to talk to about the gospel, and maybe not. Maybe not. For instance, Joanna's got an uncle in Canada. He's a medical doctor. He's more probably agnostic than he is atheist, but he... Joanna's witnessed to him plenty of times in the past, and we're praying for Uncle Todd. We love Uncle Todd. Jesus Christ loves Uncle Todd. And we want Uncle Todd to come to know Christ. And we're going to continue praying for him. Don't give up praying for your family members, folks. You may look at them and think, there is no way that's ever going to happen. Listen, do not think that way. Be faithful in praying for them. Call them out by name and pray for them. You can use it daily. You can have this one here is how do I use my prospect list? You can have it set up where you pray for certain ones during the week. That's between you and the Lord. How you set that up is whatever works best for you to be organized. Also, we see praying daily. Contact weekly. Now, this is a very important one, okay? This is, again, just practical ways. Folks that you talk to about the Lord or have talked to about the Lord, it is very important for you to remain in contact. Now, this says weekly. That's what's in our book. But it may be someone that you've talked to about the Lord plenty of times, and it may just be someone you contact monthly. Okay? You don't want to be a nuisance. You don't want to push anybody away. Okay? You got to be led by God's Spirit in that. But the point is people that you're praying for, send them an email. Say, listen, just want you to know I'm praying for you and I hope you have a great day. Loving Christ. And that is what is that? Is it a contact from you letting that person know that you are continually thinking about them? Send them a text. Send them a Facebook message. Again, it doesn't have to be a dissertation on the gospel every time you talk to them. Just let them know you're thinking about them, you're praying for them, and you love them. A contact, folks that you're working with. It will make a difference. It will make a difference. And see, that's the point of a prospect list, because you can keep logs of that. Sent Johnny an email week before Easter. Still praying. And you're keeping a log of that. And so, boy, how encouraging that will be when Johnny, it may be 5 years later, and boy, you see your log on how you contacted him and stated it's an accountability to you. And then so you say, praise God, I'm glad I stuck with it. And Johnny came to Christ 5 years later. You remember the testimony I gave of Sonny and how she came to Christ. And it just the Lord will use that prospect list in a great way. Update regularly, okay? You wanna update that often to new names, updates on how that person is doing, and responses that you've gotten, and and again, it goes back to the same philosophy we have with our doors. If someone tells you to stop contacting them, stop contacting them, okay? You pray for them, but leave them alone. Just say, Lord, I'm entrusting this person to you. They obviously do not want to talk to me any longer. You be gracious, but you let the Lord work in their hearts, but you continue praying for them. But it is good to be respectful of that. All right, now again, going back to developing an everywhere mentality. All right, how do we continue in developing that everywhere mentality? Well, that is some principles that you can think of is biblical principles and the truths that will compel you in having that everywhere mentality. One of the first things that will help you be an effective soul winner is to constantly be thinking about, Lord, what can I do today? Would you let me, here's a good one. Lord, would you let me give out one gospel tract today? One gospel tract. Lord, would you let me give my testimony at least once today? Lord, would you help me contact at least one person today that I've been praying for? You see that, just having that mentality of you're going to reach them. Number one, we want us to see people as souls. We want to see them as souls for whom Jesus died. And we remembered that in our first 11, the very importance of we're looking at an eternal soul. And remember our first lesson? What did we talk about? The value of one. You say, there's so many. Hey, listen, don't look at so many. You look at that one that God's going to lead you to next. Don't get so caught up in the hundreds that you haven't reached. Just focus on that one that God has for you for the next time you have an opportunity to witness. And so we see them as an eternal soul that God loves and God's wanting to work in their life. Secondly, stewarding relationships. Very important one. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Look for opportunities. I jumped ahead. The next one is look for opportunities, and then it will be steward relationships. But looking for opportunities. And like I said, praying for that. Can I encourage you, church, if you are already, start each day with, Lord, lead me to someone today. I was telling my group the other day, I can't be honest with you, I don't even know if I prayed that day, but God did it. I was at the gas station, and I should have probably been over there handing that lady a gospel tract, but instead, you know, I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs or whatever while my gas is pumping right up here by 441, and next thing I know, I got a nice lady that comes over. She's probably in her 60s, and she says, sir, can you do me a favor? And I said, well, sure. She said, I forgot my glasses, and I need someone to read this receipt for me. I'm not sure how much I just pumped. I said, well, sure, you just pumped $450. I'm just kidding, I didn't say that. But I said, well, ma'am, it looks like it says $30, and she said, that's what I thought. And then I just took the opportunity, by God's grace. I happen to have some tracks on me. Sometimes I don't, and I'm guilty of that. But this time I did. I had a track and said, ma'am, can I give you something? And as soon as I gave that to her, she looked up at me with a very serious look. She said, this was meant to be. I was supposed to come and ask you about my receipt. And I said, ma'am, that's very true. God makes no mistakes, and nothing happens by accident. And she said, thank you. I need this. And so I just gave it to her, and whatever God did with it, I could tell she was wanting to get on her way, so I didn't press her, but I said, ma'am, have a great day. Lord bless you. I hope you can read it. And I said, come see us. And so you just never know what God's going to bring your way, church. And it's just best to be ready and to be looking for those opportunities. And then stewarding relationships. That's very important. I'm looking forward to this teen revival that I'll mention more things about it here in a little bit. But this teen revival is going to give our teenagers an opportunity to cultivate some other relationships with teenagers in our community that perhaps don't have a church home. It was so good to see Autumn here this morning, and she brought a friend, Anna. And what a blessing it was to meet Anna. And I'm not sure if Anna has a church home or not. But she came, and it seems like she enjoyed it, and we want to see more of that. I'm looking forward to our teenagers taking some ownership and saying, hey, look, we don't have to depend on the adults and the older crowd of the church to take the gospel seriously. That commands for us too. And so we want to steward relationships by reaching out to people and being friendly to them. And I will say this, I like bragging on our teenagers when I can. And the other day, Anna brought a friend to a youth rally, and the young man that was there, all our guys went up, and even the girls too, and shook his hand and told him, good to have you here. And I was so encouraged by that. I'd never seen that before with teenagers. All of them did. They just welcomed this individual, and I'm so thankful, and that's the mentality we should have. And all the folks around us, that we want to steward relationships and let them know that they're just not a nobody. They're somebody who God cares for and loves, and so do we. So this next one is obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, this one's fun. If you are a person that wants to be led by God's Spirit, He will lead you to do some things that will have you step out of your comfort zone. I got to tell you one. Back when I was in Bible college, I may have been married a year, and I was coming back from work. I worked a second shift job. In fact, you know what? It was before work because it was in the afternoon. But I passed regularly every day a Harley Davidson biker club. All right, and this is before I had a Harley, okay? So I didn't even have that connection point, okay? And I knew some people that made, but I would go by that, and sometimes there would be five or six, even perhaps a dozen men out front just kind of hanging out by their bikes, and I would go by there and you know, pray for them and hope that the Holy Spirit wouldn't ask me to go give them a track. But this time, He did. I rode by, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to go by there. And these are big biker dudes, and I'm sure they're probably just a bunch of big teddy bears, really. But they didn't look like teddy bears, okay? And so as I argued with the Lord, I went by, and I knew I should have stopped, pulled right in, and I'd been thinking about it already. But I went on past, and the prompting and the conviction of the Holy Spirit got so heavy. And this is something I'm trusting God to continue to do in my life. I'm praying for it. That conviction got so heavy that the fact that I started thinking about their eternal soul. That what if tonight is one of their last nights? What if? So the Holy Spirit got me to turn around, and I did. I turned around and went back, and I am not even going to lie to you tonight. I was scared to death. But I did. I went, and I said, Lord, please do not let them kill me. And so I got out and I said, hello, gentlemen. My name is Brinson Jennings, and I'm a Christian. And I just told them exactly what happened. That's the only thing I knew to do. I said, I was just riding by, and the Lord impressed upon my heart to just give y'all a gospel tract that just explains how you can go to heaven. And I started handing them out, and thankfully they started grabbing them, and the guys started grabbing them, and they looked at me and thanked me, and then I couldn't get out of there quick enough, okay? But the fact of the matter is, they seemed to be thankful, but in my mind I was thinking, these guys are going to kill me. I can't go and do that, but I by God's grace, I faced the fear and went and gave it to them, and who knows, I may see one of those dudes up in heaven one day, you know? And that's the mentality you got to have, that if there's a prompting by the Holy Spirit, it may seem bizarre, it may seem scary. Get this, now here's a big one, it may seem inconvenient. I appreciate, and hey listen, you can be creative. I appreciate the Tates and Brother Jerry. He's got a very innovative way of sharing the gospel. He uses these little red pearls that he can give out. They're very nice looking. I think you can get them at Hobby Lobby, but he uses it to give as a little gift, and it represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and he connects with people on that. And there are many ways to connect with people, folks. And it's just that mentality of having, you know what, I need to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And as you see there in your book, you can imagine as Philip was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. To go witness to him. And boy, aren't you glad he did. And you know what's interesting about that story is that God had already been preparing him. Never forget that. The people that God will lead you to, God's already been preparing. Lord's been doing something. They got an aunt or uncle that's been praying for him or been talking to him already, a mom or dad, a son, a daughter. God's been working with that individual. You just get to be a little part to come along to add to that. Again, planting that seed, watering that seed, and how glorious it is when God blesses in that way. I don't know if I'm wording this correctly, but this is just something that I try to remind myself of, and I hope I can convey it the way I'm thinking it. But it's this, a moment of awkwardness is better than an eternity of torment. A moment of awkwardness is better than an eternity of torment. And what I mean by that is not that willing to be awkward, then I'm going to go to hell. No, I'm not saying that. But for me, not willing to have a little bit of awkwardness in approaching someone about the gospel, By me not willing to do that, it could very well be that person's opportunity to receive the gospel before they meet God, before they meet eternity. And I do not want to take that chance. I got to remind myself, listen, Brinson, you need to face this little bit of awkwardness. No one's arguing the fact that it's awkward at times, okay? No one's arguing that. But that's the thing I have to ask myself, is a moment of awkwardness better than an eternity of torment? And you better believe it is. Absolutely, hands down. So moving along here, staying motivated. We talk about things, and we've been talking about these things for a while now. How do we stay motivated and being an effective witness? Well, it's interesting. I heard about, read about this guy by the name of Bernard Kip Lagat. He was a world-class runner from Kenya. And man, could this guy run. I mean, the 1,500, the 500, the 3,000, the 5,000 meter. I mean, he could do it all. And man, he won several world champions and these distance runners. And he had some motivation. And one time in an interview, they interviewed him and they said, "You know, Kip, how do you Kenyan runners, how do you train so hard and how do you stay so motivated? What is it that encourages you to stay at it?" And of course, this individual giving the interview was this journalist. That's the word I was looking for. This journalist was probably expecting some deep training method, and this guy kind of got a smirk on his face, and sort of expressed his strategy for motivating and speed and running. And he said to him, he said, "It's the road signs." And this journalist looked at him kind of weird, and he said, "Beware of lions." This Kenyan runner, he was pulling his leg, but there might have been some truth to that. These rascals out practicing running in Kenya, they got to beware of the lions. And that was some motivation that they had, but I want to tell you what, we have an even a greater motivation than that, folks. Eternal souls, a God in heaven who loves them, a God in heaven who's commanded us, His children, to be the salt of the earth, to be a light set upon a hill, to be those ones that are compelled and constrained by the love of Christ. And God talks about ways that we can be motivated, and that first one is, I just said, is the love of Christ. That is a motivation that compels us and constrains us, as Paul said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That he knows that Jesus died for all. And that was something that he never got over. What God did for me. You know, this week, we hear a lot about the crucifixion. We hear a lot about the resurrection. And rightly so. I'm thankful for that. I'm not complaining. But folks, that's something that I have found that someone has told me before, and it's true. If you find yourself getting dull and being motivated to being a witness for Christ, go back and read over the account of the crucifixion. Read it over and over until it grips your heart like it once did, realizing that that was you that put Him on there, that put Him on that cross. It was me that put Him on that cross. And He did it for me. And not only did it do it for me, but He did it for the world. And I should think that because of His love, oh my, how I would want others to know, just as a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to Almighty God. But we see a love, the love of Christ, but also the reality of eternity. We talked about that, the reality of eternity. That the soul is going. I don't want to belabor that point, but it's so important to understand that hell is real. And it is an everlasting torment. And I know that sounds cruel from a human aspect, but listen, we are talking about a holy and righteous God who only doeth right. He is a loving God who is seeking to draw men into Himself and is seeking for them to believe. Just as we read about this morning and talked about, Jesus is filled with compassion. And it is not His will that any man should perish. And boy, I tell you what, that is something that is so very true. And I want to encourage you, church, if you're losing motivation about your responsibility to take it personally, pray this: Lord, remind me the reality of hell. Lord, Holy Spirit, would You remind me of the reality of the lake of fire? And remind me, Lord God, that I can make a difference in an eternal soul and letting them hear of Your grace. So we see that that's true, but also we see the reality of eternal of eternity, but also a compassion for the lost. Just simply a compassion, as Jesus was moved with compassion, and we read about this morning, that makes the difference. Being caring, seeking to make a difference. And the next one is something that will hit us all right where we need it, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Now, remembering the reality of hell and seeing people through eyes of compassion will motivate us, for sure it will, to warn them. But another eternal reality that motivates us with joy. The other is with brokenness, to think about those things. But this one is more of a joyful thought, that one day we'll stand before God and give an account of what we did to make an eternal difference. And that is why we are seeking to take it personally. If you have your Bibles, you can look there in Romans chapter 14. It's also there in your study guide. Romans chapter 14. One day we will stand before the Lord, and everything we have done for Him by His grace will be rewarded. Will be rewarded. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now this is a motivating factor for sure. There is what we call the Bema seat. But we will all stand before the Lord. I'll stand before the Lord by myself. I won't have Joanna with me. I won't have the kids with me. I'll definitely be giving an account for them and for how I treated them, how I led them. But I won't have my mom and dad with me. I won't have any of you folks with me. It's just going to be me and the Lord. And I'm going to have to give an account of what I did for Him on this earth and making a difference, and especially in the area of winning people to Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear that, church? Shouldn't that be a motivation that you want to hear the Lord Jesus, who died upon the cross of Calvary, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? That's something that we see in the Word of God. Listen to what rewards will enable us to do. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. "Whatever reward I am receiving for serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to one day be able to cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ." How wonderful that will be. Listen to Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever." And get this. "And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now you say, now how do you get being a soul winner with crowns to throw at the feet of Jesus? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Why don't you look with me there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. We see Paul referring to crowns as a result of winning people to Christ. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" They were a crown that Paul had received, a reward that he's going to receive for investing in their lives. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Do you see, one day we are going to be able to cast crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And who only knows, you may not see all your fruit on this side of eternity, but I want to tell you, you will see it. You will see every single piece of fruit as a result of you being faithful to the Great Commission. You will see it at the judgment seat. The Lord is taking note, folks. He says He is. He's taking account, good and evil, good and bad. He's taking account of what we do for Him. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not for salvation. Thank God for that. We got that clear here at the Creek. I'm pretty sure we understand the judgment seat of Christ is not a place to be judged for our sin. It's going to be a place where we're judged according to what we did for Him while here on this earth as His children. And we will be awarded accordingly by His marvelous grace. So we see here in our study about taking it personally. And my prayer is that we will simply do this. We will make His Great Commission our personal priority. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has done already through this. I know Brother Whalen would not mind me mentioning him from the pulpit, but I'm thankful that he is even one that has come to know Christ in the past month as a result of us taking it personally. And guess who gets the fruit for that? You say, well, the person that put that door hanger on his door. That's true. But you know who else? The people that have been praying. You know who else? The other teams that have been putting door hangers on other doors. That people that have most likely, I hope I'm not stepping out of line here, but most likely out of over the 1,200 door hangers that have been distributed in this community, I believe in my heart that there's been more than one person trust Christ as a result of it. I can't prove that to you, but I just believe in my heart, it's my opinion, there's been some people out there that have been wondering about eternity. Perhaps for whatever reason, they don't come to this church. For perhaps whatever reason, God leads them in a different direction. But perhaps they looked at that door hanger and read the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed it. And as a result of that, that will be crowns that we will be able to cast at the feet of the Lamb of God. And I hope that we'll take that seriously in the days ahead as God gives us opportunity to take it personally. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful again for this opportunity. But Lord, we confess as a church, as we did the first day as we had our commissioning service, and Brother Mark Reynolds prayed over us and others prayed, Lord, that we would be able to be used of You, Lord, and You're working. You're helping us. You're empowering us, Lord, and it's beautiful. It's perfect. And I'm thankful, God. But I realize, Lord, we got so much more to do and grow. But Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for allowing us to do this for You. It's a privilege and honor. Lord, would You help us to stay motivated? Lord, would You help us to remember why we're doing what we're doing? Lord, I'm asking You, in the name of the Lord Jesus, would You please, Lord, help me. Help us to see this not as an idea, but as an identity. As the children of light. In a place of darkness. Oh, Lord God, we pray that You'd get the glory for all that takes place. And give us wisdom, Lord, not just to end with sharing the gospel, but then, Lord, teaching the Word of God and leading and loving and discipling and growing and multiplying according to Your will as You give increase. Father, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Perhaps God has spoken to you tonight. Perhaps you need to be saved, or perhaps, my dear friend, you need to be renewed in your commitment to the Great Commission of taking it personally. I ask you to be obedient to God's Spirit during the invitation. Brother Mike.
Hymn number 580, He Leadeth Me. Hymn number 580, please stand.
You be obedient to God's Spirit.